just tuned in to Joy in the Word with beloved Bible teacher and author Pam Jenkins. And we're so honored that you would join us in the opening of God's Word. Today is going to be a marvelous day in the Word of God as Pam opens up the very pages that give us life and give us purpose. So let's join Pam now as she reveals the truth of the day.
So in Revelation chapter 1, I want you to write at the top of your note sheet, what is the apocalypse? We hear that word and we go, oh, the apocalypse. You know, I get so tickled about the movies that come out, but Revelation chapter 1, we're going to be in Revelation chapter 1, and I do want to kind of move through this series, not too fast, but at a good steady pace. You know, I'm not one of these teachers that will stay in a book for 2 years. You know, I'm just not. And but I need us to get through it before the summer for time reasons. And listen, that's certainly not a bad thing to do. Don't misunderstand me. I'm just not that style of teacher. But Revelation 1:7 tells us this. Behold, it means look, be ready. He is coming with the clouds. And it's speaking of Jesus. He's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him. I thought about that the other day. I thought, even the blind. Every eye is going to see him. Even those, listen, who pierced him. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn over him. So it is to be, amen. So it is to be, amen. There's some spelling things wrong, isn't there? Because there is on my notes. The book of Revelation is the grand, listen, and noble conclusion of the Bible. If anything new, any new word has come about the end times or something that doesn't line up with the Bible, God said, it's finished with Revelation. Don't add to the words of this book. Don't take away. So it's God's, listen, it's God's final, it's the finality of all things right there. And in the biblical record, human history begins in the garden, but it's going to end in the eternal city. Revelation records for us the final days of this world as we know it and reveals the glorious new one to come. It's God's roadmap to help us understand where human history is headed. It's God's roadmap where human history is headed. And if we don't know where they're headed, how are we going to be prepared? Or how are we going to have an urgency to help others be prepared? Whatever their preparation is calling for. And so it's important that we do study the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation gives us hope for the future. Listen, that God's going to make all things new. And that's Revelation 21:5. So I want to give you some points, 4 points tonight as we launch into this book. And a lot of people, you know, let's skip over all this, these first, you know, 3 chapters. Let's skip over all of that. Let's get to the goods. Let's get to that beast. Let's get to that Antichrist. Let's get to the good stuff. But God laid it out and he designed it the way that he did for a reason. And you're going to see some of that tonight because we can't circumvent those things. And there's a reason. He wants us to see what he wants us to see first. And I don't want to take away from that absolutely as a Bible teacher. But point number one, what I want us to see in Revelation chapter 1, and I'm going to read the verses in just a minute. But number one is, I want us to see the presence of blessing. The presence of blessing. Because it tells us as we begin to read in verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bondservants the things which must soon take place. And he sent and communicated it by his angel to his bondservant John. And we just got out of John's gospel. And John, that wasn't the final end of his life or his writing. He had much more to do for the Lord. And verse 2 says, who testified to the word of God, and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed, it says, is he who reads and those who hear the words of the prophecy and heed the things which are written in it, for the time is near. There's a great promise in here. There's a great promise in here. And what I don't want us to miss is John is a faithful witness. When we open up the book of Revelation, we can know that the hand that is penning it Number one, it's been burned, so it's a scarred, persecuted hands. But it's pinning it. He's a faithful witness. He didn't run. He hasn't run in the hour of persecution or even in the hour of Jesus and crucifixion. He was there, and he's the only disciple that we know is mentioned that he was by the cross. So it's a faithful witness. And he tells us, you can be assured of the things that I'm writing. I would not mislead you in this. I have given my very life for this gospel, for this truth. I want to give you the meaning of the word revelation, because when we open up and we say, okay, this is the book of Revelation. Revelation, it means, it comes from that Greek word, listen, apocalypsis, which we get our word apocalypse. So when we say the book of Revelation, it's the book of apocalypse. And you say, what does that mean? It means to unveil. To unveil. When we hear the word apocalypse, we think of nuclear bombs going off and islands being sucked down into the sea and mountains crumbling. And we think of all of these bad things when we hear the word. Like when I said it tonight, some of you went, ooh, the apocalypse. It's like a scary, spooky thing. But when we open up God's word, the first verse says, the revelation of Jesus Christ. The apocalypse of Jesus Christ. Do you know what the book of Revelation is about? Unveiling to let us see who Jesus is. And if we want to jump and see who the Antichrist is, we've missed the reason behind the book of Revelation. The apocalypse means to unveil. To unveil, the unveiling, but Revelation is the unveiling, the uncovering of Jesus Christ. And that's what we don't want to miss. It is unwrapping him. It's unwrapping him. It's removing the covering, removing the veil, which tells us the heart in Revelation as soon as we open up the book. God wants us to see Jesus. He wants us to see Jesus. It doesn't matter how much we know about the book of Revelation. If we've studied the end times, and I have had a lot of people over the years come up to me and, you know, want to talk about the end times, but we shouldn't talk about the end times. We should be talking about Jesus and the end times. Because that's how God started us. Through everything that I'm going to show you has to be seen through the lens of Jesus. And you know why? Because if we skip and try to skip this part, when we get to all of this other stuff that's going to happen, all these beasts and all these, the seals being broken and all the plague, all these things that are going to start happening, if we lose sight of Jesus, it's going to scare us to death. It's going to put us in a panic. You see, God really does know what he's doing. We're going to unveil Jesus. And when you see all this other stuff and you start learning what's going to happen, you got to see it through him. I want you to see everything through him. That's where our security comes from. I love that about God because he knows. Listen, when I first got saved and I started hearing about Revelation, I was scared to death. I was scared to death. But I didn't know Jesus. I didn't know him. And so I love the heart of God in this. And there's a common misconception that Revelation is a sealed book. And there's some religions out there, some denominations that think, oh, don't, you shouldn't unseal that book. Well, it means unveiling, unsealing. So I think we've missed it there. But it is, listen, it is to be known and to be seen. So write this nugget down right here. We cannot see our future without seeing Jesus. We cannot see our future without seeing Jesus, because if you study God's word, God says, I declared the ending before I did the beginning. So I declared the ending here, and I've worked all the way back to the beginning. But God saved the ending for us to know at this time. And so he wants us to know our ending. But it was after, listen, it's after we saw the ministry of Jesus and that he was crucified, he was buried, and he rose again. Now I'm going to give you the ending. Not all of it, but I'm going to give you a lot of it. And so this is where we're headed. We're headed to our ending, but it's going to be through Jesus. And it tells us in this first verse, it says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bondservants, the things which must soon take place. Let me give you what the word soon right here means. Because in studying Revelation, listen, I'm not going to pick up a commentary. We don't need to do that. God's word allows us to interpret his book. He didn't give it all to John. He gave some to Daniel, some to Ezekiel. And so we can let God's word interpret for us and take what Scripture says and not try to fill in some stuff that's not there. But when he said, I want to show you what must soon take place, the word soon right here, it means quickly or suddenly coming to pass. Now, it doesn't speak of a time period, like regarding a length of waiting, okay? But rather a time when something will happen all of a sudden without warning. So when he says, I'm writing these things, I'm revealing these things to the bondservant so he can write them down of the things that's going to soon take place, that doesn't mean in time. Like, okay, is it 3 days? Is it 2 weeks? Is it 6 years? 2,000 years? What is it? It's not what the word soon here means, because you've got to understand when it's written in the Greek language and it's translated over into ours, we can get confused. Well, it's been over 2,000. Listen, and doubters, haters will say this. Well, it says it's soon, it's drawing near, but, you know, it's been over 2,000 years and nothing is happening. Well, that's not what that word means. It means when it does happen, it's going to come suddenly, without warning. Without warning. So it's going to be a sudden happening when it takes place. And so he wants us to know ahead of time so we're not dismayed, we're not shocked when we see these things or maybe things leading to coming to pass of these things that are written. And he said, but blessed, and here's the promise for the book of Revelation that I don't want us to miss. And we see it in verse 3. It says, blessed is the person who reads and who hears the words of this prophecy. So we know that Revelation is prophecy. We know that right off the bat. It's speaking of future. It's a prophetic word. And it says, but not only reads and hears it, that, which means, and let me just plug this in, the hearing. Do you know what the hearing means? It's not just reading, but blessed is the person, listen, when it's read out loud, when you're hearing it, which we're doing tonight. We're blessed because we're reading it and we're hearing it already. And it says, but also, and heeds the things which are written in it. Heeds them. Takes them to heart. He says, blessed is this person. We're going to look at the word heed in a minute. But blessed right here is just a simple meaning. It means, and this is what I love, it means happy, at rest, to know joy. But here's the big one. Happy, joy, to know rest. But it means unshakable. Slap your neighbor over that one right there. Listen, this is good Bible study. It just stirs my blood. When we're learning what God's word is saying to us. Listen, when we're not being entertained, we're not talking about, listen, prosperity and all that stuff. When we're talking about the meat of God's word, and this is the meat of God's word, he says, blessed is the one who reads, hears, and takes heed. You know what he's saying? Unshakable is the one who heeds, who hears, who reads. They're going to have an unshakable joy. They're going to be at rest. We're not going to be in turmoil. We're not going to be in turmoil when we read these things and we take them to heart. It says, because you're going to be unshakable. Your soul is going to know rest. Why? Because it's an unveiling of Jesus. I'm looking at it through Jesus. When I keep Jesus in front of me, when you keep Jesus in front of you, nothing will shake your faith. So when I remove him and I start looking at world events, and if you haven't already, turn off the news. Listen, turn off the news. The last presidential election, I turned it off, and I hadn't turned it on since. I mean, the truth. I have sources that I read articles from that are trusted, you know, without bias. But turn that stuff off. It'll scare you to death. But it's Revelation 22:7 says, behold, I'm coming quickly. Blessed is he who heeds the words of the prophecy of this book. He gives us, again, heed it. Let me give you what the word heed means. Heed means to hold it fast, to watch and observe. To hold it fast, to watch and observe. What? What's written in Revelation? Hold it fast, what He teaches you, what He reveals to you. You tuck it in here. You observe it. You watch, and you know the signs. Jesus taught His disciples, you know the signs. Just like you know in a tree when it's spring or when it's losing its leaves or going into winter. He said, I'm giving you the signs of the season of when these things might start taking place or leading into it. So watch and observe these things. Heed them, hold fast to them, because you'll be unshakable, he says. Jeremiah 31:17, I love this. If you've never put this verse up somewhere in your life, keep it in front of you. It says, there is hope for your future. There is hope for your future, declares the Lord. Do you know what we've come to see in the book of Revelation? That everything that's behind, not that it's not important, but the better is always coming. The better of our life is always ahead of us. So we can never, listen, we can never look forward to our future without hope. Because God said, I declared the ending first. So you would never look ahead and be afraid of the future. And you can never look at your future and be without hope. I did that. I deposited hope out there for you, ahead of you. Your greatest days are always ahead of you. They're not behind you. They're not behind you. Even though there's some things that are important there. I'm not saying that. But He always puts us and looking ahead. He begins with Jesus. There is no hope for the future without Jesus, is what God wants us to see. God doesn't want us to see the things that are coming apart from Him, because as Hebrews 12:2 tells us, we got to fix our eyes on Him. He's the author, listen, and He's the finisher. He's the author and He's the finisher, Hebrews 12:2. So point number two, we not only have the presence, listen, the presence of a blessing, or really a promise we could say, but point number two, we have the presence of mourning, grieving, an M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. I did spell that right. The presence of mourning. Because He tells us that Jesus is coming and these things are going to take place, but it's going to not be a happy clappy time. It's going to be a time of mourning, because He tells us in verse 4, John, He says, to the seven churches that are in Asia. And we're going to learn about these seven churches kind of in a quick way, but we're going to learn about the seven churches. He says, grace to you and peace from Him who is, who was, who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before His throne. And we're going to learn what those are, but not tonight. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to Him who loves us and released us from our sins by His blood. I love that He says, to Him who loves us. This is a book of love. You want to see His love. And He said, He has made us to be a kingdom, priest to His God and Father. To Him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. And here it is. I love that He says, you're loved. The one who loves you, and He will love you to your final breath, to that final hour for you to come to Him. When it's too late, He'll love you up to that point. He'll love you to the last of it, all the way, wanting you to look to Him as Lord and Savior. But then He says in verse 7, behold, He is coming with the clouds. He's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see Him. We started with this verse, even those who pierced Him. Listen, that's the Jews. That's the Romans, but that's the Jews. And all the tribes of the earth, it says, listen, they're going to go, oh, praise God, there He is. No, it says, and they will mourn. They will mourn over Him. I didn't put this in our study, but that word mourn, listen, it is a wailing. It is a wailing of unspeakable sorrow and regret. When He comes again, His second coming, it's going to be a sorrowful, grievous time. when they look on him who they pierced. And it says, so it is to be. So it is to be. Amen. So what is to be? The morning of when Jesus comes again. So it is to be. It's going to be. He says, I'm the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. Do you know that, listen, thousands of years before this was given, that in Scripture, throughout Scripture, this was told to us. Let me give you some of these places with these prophets, some of the minor prophets, and even into the New Testament. Zechariah 12:10, speaking of this, it says, I'll pour out upon the house of David, that's Jesus' line, and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, and they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him, as one mourns for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him, as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. That's like a loss of a child, a firstborn child. And then in Matthew 24:30, Jesus said, and then shall appear the Son of Man in heaven. Then all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And that's going to get better. It's getting gooder and gooder. Hang on. Zechariah 14:5, again, Zechariah writes, and the Lord my God shall come, listen, and all the saints with him. Guess who's not mourning? Slap yourself. Go ahead. You ain't going to be weeping coming with him. You're not going to be weeping. You're going to be with him. You're going to be with him. In 1 Thessalonians 3:13, first, and listen, I've only picked out some. This isn't exhaustive. 1 Thessalonians 3:13, it says, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:4. I skipped it, thank you. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Don't you love that? And then Jude 1:14, because we read Thessalonians, it says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of this saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. There is such a thing that you can Google and you can look up the book of Enoch. Jude quotes specifically out of the book of Enoch right here. You know, Enoch walked with the Lord and he was no more. You know, we believe he's coming back at the end, him and Elijah. And they will be the ones who didn't die, coming back in the great tribulation. And so it writes, even, listen, way back in Enoch's day, talking about the coming, the second coming of Jesus. Behold, he comes with the clouds is a prophecy of the second coming of Jesus. And this is where we get confused. And I'm going to read this slowly because it won't be up on the screen. So Pam, what is the second coming of Jesus? It is separate and distinct from the rapture of the church. The second coming is not the rapture because he doesn't come. We go, but he doesn't come. Okay? The rapture, hold on to your britches for this, the rapture is the time when Jesus will be coming, listen, for his church. We're going to hear a trumpet, and it's time, and we're going to be called up, and we're going to learn about this as we get just a couple more chapters in, and when we think that will take place from Scripture, not from Hagee and all these other ones. What does God's Word tell us? So the rapture is when Jesus, listen, comes for his church, but the second coming, he will be coming with his church. Not for his church, but with his church, with the saints, with the bride. Because he's coming, listen, to put his foot, and we've seen it if you've been to Israel, on the top of the Mount of Olives. And it's going to split open. It's going to split open. He's coming. And listen, every eye will see him. Every eye. It's a time, listen, and write this nugget down. A time of great mourning is coming with his coming. A time of great mourning is coming with his coming. So, Pam, what should that do for us? It should make us want to reach people for Jesus. I don't want you to be one of those that's here and mourning for him, or you died without knowing Christ. You're still going to see him too. Every eye, it says, will see him. And they will mourn, and they will look on the ones who pierced him, will look on him. And it's going to be, listen, he's coming in the clouds. And it took me a long time before it ever clicked in my brain. And we know that he went up in the clouds when he ascended to heaven. And the disciples didn't see him anymore, except John, you know, and of course Paul on the road to Damascus. But he ascended to heaven, and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. But it says that he's coming with the clouds. And my granny, you know, there's those old hymns, you know, oh, cloudless day. You know, but do you know that him coming in the clouds, it's not going to be sunshine and roses? You got to understand that Revelation, it's a prophetic book, but it deals in symbols and pictures and hidden things. But that cloudless day, it means that it's going to be stormy, a stormy time. It's going to be a hard time. The sun will be darkened, we know that, but it's not going to be a sunshiny, you know, skipping through the tulips kind of moment. It's going to be a hard time when he comes. It's not going to be a cloudless day. So point number three, we have the presence of his blessing. We have the presence of mourning. But point number three, we have the presence of Jesus. And this is what I want our hearts to get tonight. If you don't get anything else, because God's laying all of this out. Listen, as Jesus is speaking these words to John and he's pinning them, he's very intentional about the order that he tells us these things. He wants us to know these things first, and this is when it gets really good for us, the church. The presence of Jesus. In verse 9, it says, I, John, your brother. Your brother. He said, "Send." I want you to write this. We know the author. And he says, and send it to the seven churches. And we know the recipients. And we're going to see what that means, but later, not tonight. But it says, I, John, your brother, and fellow partaker in the tribulation. What tribulation? He was persecuted. He says, in kingdom and perseverance which are in Jesus, I was on the island called Patmos. And we know where that is today because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. He said, I'm a fellow sufferer with you in the tribulation. And he said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet. And what this means in the spirit, whether he was just in tune with God, and people said, you know, maybe God just showed him this vision. We don't know, but we do know that he was communicated to directly. And it says, saying to me, this loud, thunderous voice, write in a book what you see and send it to the seven churches, Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. Send what you see, write it down and send it to the seven churches. And I'm sure that later when this was all over, this moment, and he'd recorded everything and he saw everything. I mean, God allowed him to see it. I mean, he saw it and he had to describe it. And that terminology for his day, that was pretty hard to do, knowing that this is going to be thousands of years later. But do you know that he was trapped? Listen, he was isolated on this island. That was his sentence. He was sentenced there. He had been put in a cauldron of hot oil, so he had suffered for his faith for Jesus, but he didn't die. They thought it would kill him, and it didn't kill John. I'm sure the thought came to him, how am I going to get this letter to these seven churches, and I'm on this little island? I'm exiled here. How am I going to get it to them? How am I going to get it? But do you know, we know that John left that island. We know that the word did come out because, listen, we're holding it in our hands. Get it out, John. And it went out. When God gives a message that he wants his people to hear, nothing can stop it. All the persecution in the world can't stop it. So he says, send it out. And it says, I was in the spirit and I heard this voice. It says, write in a book what you see, send it to the seven churches. Verse 12, then I turned to see the voice that was speaking to me. You know, when we are growing in our Christian faith, and I just want to insert this because a teacher's heart, I can't stand it. It said, I heard the voice, but I want to turn, listen, but I want to see him. I want to see the one who's been speaking to me. I believe that's going to be our heart when we're in God's word and he's speaking to us. And it's not for knowledge, but it's for relationship. I want to grow. I want to be the woman. I want to be the man you want me to be. There's going to, when it wells up within you, I want to see the one who is speaking to me. You know you've had Bible study. You know that he's been with you. I want to see him. And this was the heart of John. I hear it, but I'm not satisfied with just hearing. I want to see him. I want to see him. And he said, and I turned, and having turned, I saw, listen, his. I want you to see where his focus, where the Lord sends his eye, I see seven golden lampstands. When I turned to, I heard the voice of the Lord, and when I turned and I wanted to see him, I see these seven golden lampstands. And that's important to us. Hang on to your britches. And in the middle of the lampstands, he said, I see Jesus, one like the Son of Man, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet, girded across his chest with a golden sash. His head and his hair were white like wool, like snow, and his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze. You know, Daniel, listen, those fiery boys could say, yeah, that's why, because he's walked in my fiery furnaces. I know those feet. I know those feet. He says, when it has been made to glow in a furnace, I believe when we fall at his feet, we're going to recognize those feet that have walked through every fire with us. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. And in his, you know what, many waters, it usually represents nations and tribes. Anybody's going to be able to understand him. In his right hand, he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword, and his face like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. That's the right response. And he placed his right hand on me, and I love this. Don't be afraid. Listen, don't be afraid. I'm the first and the last. It's like, John, you leaned yourself on my chest at the Last Supper. And the living, he said, I'm the first and the last, the living one. I was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. I have the keys of death and of Hades. You said, Pam, why the presence of Jesus? Where does he want us why does he want us to see the presence of Jesus? Because what he's seeing is a picture of what's also should be taking place on the earth in the age of the church. When I turned to see the voice of the Lord who was speaking to me, the first thing he saw was the lampstands. And looking in the lampstands, there was Jesus in the midst of them. When we get to the last verse in this chapter, hold with me, this is good Bible teaching. In verse 20, it says, the seven lampstands are the seven churches. Now hold with me. Hold with me. This is so important we get this. Jesus, where is Jesus? In the middle of where? What it, which is? Jesus is in the middle of the? He should be. When I want to see Jesus, I better be able to look at the church and see him. I better be able to look at the church and see him. Jesus is speaking, listen, Jesus is speaking out of. Yes, go ahead, slap your neighbor. You know you want to. This is inductive Bible study by asking who, what, when, where, why, and how. When we see the church, we should see Jesus in the midst, in the middle. It shouldn't be other things on the marquee. It shouldn't be other, listen, it shouldn't be our programs and all this other stuff. When I look at the church, listen, and you're the church, by the way, Jesus should be the center. He should be seen. And I should hear His words. I should hear His voice. If I want to hear Him and I want to know Him, listen, not hear a man, or today in some churches a woman, don't get me on that, but when I want to hear Jesus, I should be able to hear it out of the church. When I want to see Jesus, I should be able to see it in the church. This is what He wants us to see. As God's people, we have a role going into as we know what's coming. As we progress forward to this moment, where are people going to find Jesus? In the middle of the lampstands. So our focus here is not on the church when He turns. As wonderful as these lampstands were, He said the lampstands, He tells us, because, you know, it's a lot of symbolism and imagery that's used in Revelation, but He clearly tells us these golden lampstands were the church. So the churches, the seven churches. And in its middle, in its midst, Jesus is calling out. So who is Jesus going to use to call out to those? The church. You know, we'll call out to get them to do all that we're doing, and we want you to do this with us and come here and la, 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 la. But are we calling them to hear and come to Jesus? It's a shame. It's a shame to me today. His word should be heard in the church. So you can soak on that little scene for the rest of your life. But you cannot argue the point that the church is not, listen, the church is not to receive the glory. The church is not to be the focus. The church is not, listen, to be heard. Jesus is to be heard through the church and seen in the church. And He's got to be the center. So often we, you know, the organized church makes our programs, our denomination, our focus. But He said the apocalypse, the revelation, is about unveiling Jesus. I wonder how many of us, because we are the church, need to unveil Jesus in our own life for people to see. And when I speak, are they hearing Jesus? When they see me, are they seeing Jesus? It's very convicting. You know, in Revelation, we just want to jump to the understanding of the hidden things. But listen, we miss the one who's He's wanting to reveal to us. Where is Jesus? Where was John hearing Him from? Out of the church. Out of the church. I think as the church, we're going to have a great responsibility. For those who didn't have a right understanding of Jesus because they had a horrible, you know, encounter or experience with the church. We didn't give them Jesus. We didn't show them Jesus. We didn't speak Jesus. We didn't love them like Jesus. We didn't unveil Jesus for them. And that's where God starts, listen, us in Revelation. You need to know if you're the church, if you are a Christian, you are the church. And Jesus is to be your center. He is to be the one when people look at you, they're drawn to Him. They're drawn to Him, not to you. Because He's the one that gave His life. Not us. We need to be giving Jesus. We can get so caught up in our life things. And He said, as you open up Revelation, I want to strip off the veil of all that stuff that's kept you so busy, your hobbies, your idols. Those things that have taken away your focus from me, your time from me. And I want to put me back where I'm supposed to be, and that's your center in the midst of you. In the midst of you. 1 Thessalonians 2:4 says, just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. Listen, that's Jesus. So we speak. So we speak, not as pleasing men, but God who examines our heart. Hebrews 1:1-4 tells us this. God, after he spoke long ago to the fathers and the prophets in many portions and in many ways. And I love that God didn't give all of prophecy, because God's word teaches us that prophets are subject to prophets. If you're a prophet of God, if you're really, truly speaking for God. He didn't give all of it to Daniel. He didn't give all of it to Ezekiel. He didn't give all of it to any prophet or minor prophet. He didn't even give it all to John. But they all listen. They all complement. And when you put them all together, we get the whole truth of what God wants us to know. Anybody that comes, and there are some of these religions and fanatics, occults that are out there, they'll claim that it's just them that has it. God's word doesn't operate that way. He doesn't give it to only one person. They all need each other. And it says, but I've spoken, and he says, in prophets in many portions, listen, not all of it, but in portions, in many ways. In these last days, has spoken to us, listen, all that we need to know in his Son, in Jesus, whom he appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. And he is the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When we look at the church, that's you, that's me. Not talking about the organized church, talking about us, the bride of Christ. We should see the radiance of his glory, the exact representation of his nature. That's what the world needs to see. Revelation is it's a convicting book. I hope you're ready. I'm trying to get ready for this journey. It's a convicting book. Not to increase our knowledge. Listen, to draw us closer to Jesus, increase our faith in him. Our faith in him, because the time is drawing near. And it says, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become as much better than his angels as he has inherited a more excellent name than they. Your nugget right here. Jesus is to be the focus of the church, listen, within and without. Jesus is to be the focus of the church within and without. What the world sees when we're out there in the community or we're in the walls worshiping corporately. He's to be the focus of the church within and without, within and without. In our last point tonight, we have the presence of the blessing, the presence of mourning, the presence of Jesus. I love that Jesus wants us to know, hey, I'm with you. I'm in your midst, church. I'm with you. I'm in your midst. I'm not going anywhere. When all these things start happening, Jesus is still in the midst of the church. He's right there. He never leaves the church. I love that. And that's you. That's you. But our last point, point number four, is the presence of remembrance. Presence of remembrance. And this is going to help us know how we're moving forward. Verse 19 and 20 says, therefore, write these things which you have seen, John, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after these things. And he says, as for the mystery, we've already looked at part of this, the seven stars that I hold in my right hand and the seven golden lampstands. The stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches. So he tells, listen, he says, therefore what? Because Jesus has conquered. Jesus is in her midst. Who he is and what he's done, this is what I want you to write. And he says it, the things, listen, that you have seen, the things which are, and the things that will take place after these things. When you start looking and studying the book of Revelation, you have to have this framework or you'll get it wrong. You'll get it wrong. Those things, you know what he's saying? Write these things. What things? Those things that are worthy of remembrance. Those things that are worthy of remembrance. For John, he says, write the things that you've seen, John. Write the things which you've seen. John had witnessed Jesus. You said, Pam, what should we remember? What should we be, taking note of and keeping, you know, watch over? It's your personal witness of Jesus. The things you've seen him do, what's taking place now, and what is coming. What is coming? That's important for us to know. He said, write these things, the things that you've seen, what's taking place now. What if that were our conversations? What things? What God is doing? what the Lord is doing right now in the churches. In John's day, it was the seven churches. And then listen, what's coming? That ought to be our verbiage. Are you ready? This is what's coming. This is what he's telling John. This is what is important for us to know. What you deem, here's a nugget, and we're almost finished, so hang with me. What you deem worthy of remembrance will either focus on Jesus or on you. What you deem worthy of remembrance will either focus on Jesus or on you. And listen, God is wanting us to know in this book that it's not about you. It's about what you've seen Jesus do, what you see Jesus doing, and what Jesus is going to do. It's all about Jesus. It's the apocalypse of Jesus, the unveiling of Jesus. So in our closing, I want us to know, as we study the book of Revelation, it's a threefold cord of understanding for us, of unveiling. You say, Pam, how do we approach it? This way, the things which John has seen, and he's described that to us. We've already looked at the view of Jesus. But then it's going to be the things which are, and that's the churches in place. The things which are. And then lastly, it's going to be the things which will take place after these things. This is the framework. And if you have this right framework, because John was only to write about three things. The things which he had seen, the things which are, that's seen past tense, the things which are going on right now, John in the churches, and thirdly, the things which are going to take place after, listen, these things. These things, what things? The things you've seen, the things which are, the churches. Most of Revelation, listen, is the third cord. It's the third cord. The things that will take place after those first two things. And as we move forward, this framework is going to be how we are moving and studying and learning what God's Word tells us in the book of Revelation. And you need to know that everything that we learn in Revelation, our focus is going to be Jesus. It's going to be the focus of Him. And also cultivating an urgency because the time is short. The time is short. And you say, Pam, can we know that the rapture is going to take place before these horrible things are going to take place? Is God's Word clear about that? Yes. Right here in Revelation, it's very clear when we take the threefold cord of Revelation in the way that John was to write it.
You've been listening to Join the Word with beloved Bible teacher and author Pam Jenkins. Here at J-Bot Ministries, we're so honored that you would join us for the reading of God's Word. We pray that today's message has been an encouragement to your soul. Join us next time for Join the Word with Pam Jenkins. God bless y'all.